Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, with up to 50% off in the big Halloween sale now on. In store, at Station Roundabout Letterkenny, and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll hear from Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan and former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle as we look ahead to a crunch tie for Finn Harps against UCD in the Premier Division tomorrow evening. Defeat for Harps and they would be relegated to the First Division. Maxi Curran talks ladies and colleges Gaelic football. Paddy Hunter will preview the Tyrone Senior Football Final. And Richard Kerr reflects on a winning season on the bikes. But it's with football we start. Ollie Horgan is hoping there's a kick to come from his Finn Harps side in their crucial clash with UCD tomorrow Friday. Harps go into the game in Ballybuffet knowing a defeat would mean relegation to the First Division. A win or a draw and it keeps the season alive with one game to play. The Harps manager says they still have a chance but they need to perform.
Certainly it's the biggest game now, to put it that way to you. If they don't perform on Friday, there's no way back out of it. Look, we need to turn things around. We still have a chance, if you like. We're not, if you like, done yet, but if we don't perform, UCD will have too much for us. And, you know, they've beaten us twice, drawn us once, and it's not by accident. Like, we weren't unlucky in any of those games. We're not blaming referees' decisions. They're some very, very good players of a very good management team. And unless we, you know, perform to our best ability, you know, we'll run out of games and Friday will be the last game that we'll run out of. However, we're hoping that there'll be a kick in us and that we certainly will give everything to it to see where it gets us, Archie.
Yeah, you've been in this situation before, Ollie, and obviously it's more or less a new group of players from what it was like a couple of seasons ago. But maybe the fact that you have been here before and experienced it before, could that be give you maybe that extra edge on it?
Well, you know, the management team has experienced it before. Only a small number of players really have experienced it. We've got 12, 13 new players there that, unless they've experienced it with other clubs, well, to be fair to Rob Slevin, he's experienced it with Cork and maybe one or two others if you go into the nitty-gritty have. But, you know, it's a new group and it's probably a new challenge for them. They've struggled and, you know, they've found it very, very difficult physically and mentally. But we've one last chance at it on Friday and just we certainly need to give everything to it to see if it's good enough. It may not be good enough with the quality that GCD have and the energy and legs and drive, and they have a fair bit of experience too, despite, you know, them being a college Sam, and I think Jack Keeney have huge experience with us in Sligo. Michael Gallagher is, you know, he's come through us as well, and you know, they're a hell of a lot about them. Evan O'Zan played way back, certainly in my first year, 9 years ago. He played with the Shamrock Rovers B team in the First Division, went on to Shelburne, etc. from there. However, that's not me making excuses in any manner. You know, we have to win on Friday, and if we can't beat GCD on Friday, we haven't beaten them four times all year in the four occasions, and probably we won't deserve to stay in the division if we can't do that on Friday. But let's see, can we put together a performance to make it difficult?
Yeah, but the management obviously feel that there is a performance in this group that can pull it off, Ollie.
Well, I think to a degree we've underperformed, but we can say that every year. I mean, you know, we haven't put two wins back to back. We've only won four games all season, and you know, you can talk about new players and a new team and whatever budgets, etc. But you know, the results speak for themselves. However, we are still in it as regards. You know, we're not gone yet, but we've no, you know, fallback after Friday. If we don't get a performance and a result on Friday, well, then we do go down and, you know, we can't blame anyone but ourselves. You know, we need everything to go well on Friday. Referees' decisions, we need to be up for it ourselves and deal with their strengths, and they have many, many strengths to the credit, GCD. We also need the supporters who have been brilliant this year, in particular this year in my time. You know, we're struggling week in, week out. They can see it. And in other years, they might have turned on us and turned on the players, which would have put them into their shell. They haven't. And that's not me, Oisin, trying to buy them over. We're well past that stage, and certainly I am. But they've been brilliant with us through thick and thin, and in games in particular at home, where we didn't perform well enough. They didn't turn on the players to their utmost credit. And I'd love, and we'd love, to be able to give them something back on Friday to at least prolong our challenge, to see can we stay in the division.
OK, listen, Ollie, the very best of luck on Friday against UCD. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Oisin.
That's Finn Harps boss Ollie Horgan. And once again, Harps against UCD here on Highland will be live tomorrow night, as from the 8 o'clock kickoff. Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle will be on commentary in association with B&S Credit Union in Ballybuffet. It is without doubt a huge game, as Harps trail the Students by 3 points at the bottom of the table. There is a lot at stake for the Ballybuffet Blues. Declan Boyle says it's a massive game that needs a massive Harps performance. Declan, huge game for Finn Harps this Friday night, knowing that they can't suffer a defeat. If that happens, they're going to be relegated. But it's amazing how quick things come upon you, because if we reflect back to the start of the season, Declan, we were all saying how big a game the penultimate match against UCD could be. And look at the way things have turned out.
Yeah, it just shows you, you know, we kind of knew at the start of the season that we'd be down there with UCD and Drogheda, and you know, Drogheda have done very well and have kept out of trouble as much as possible. And we thought Shelburne might be in the mix as well, and they've done excellent under Damien Duff. But yeah, listen, it's down to two big matches, and it's important that we get a one tomorrow night against UCD, and it's that massive big game. I mean, it's a cup final. I would say it's even bigger than a cup final, because you know, we have an opportunity to stay in the Premier League versus going down to the First Division, and I do believe that it's easier to stay in the Premier League than it is to get promoted out of the First Division. So it's massive game, and one I'm looking forward to, and hopefully we'll get a big crowd, good atmosphere, and we'll get a big performance from the team, and that's probably the crucial thing. We need a big performance with, you know, real energy about it and a real willingness to go out and win the game, and that's what we're looking for tomorrow night.
Listen, there's pressure in every game that you play, Declan, but how much pressure is there now in this Harps squad tomorrow night?
Yeah, there's pressure, absolutely. You know, it's coming down to, as we say, the last two games of the season, and this is the big one for me, and there is, it brings extra pressure, but there's enough experience, players in the squad that have been there before and done that, and that'll hopefully use the big occasion, big days, and getting a big performance, and hopefully that will stand us in good stead against a very young, probably inexperienced UCD team, but with loads of energy, loads of athleticism, and real pace about them as well. But they're coming to Finn Harps and Finn Park, and they're in good form, and they're going to be a big test tomorrow night. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, because if we look at the form over the last number of games, particularly in the sides in the bottom half of the table, UCD are up there, so they're.
Yeah, they've come good at a good time, you know, and it's important to get ones. Like, crucially, you know, we've lost twice and drew once with them, so they've pulled 7 points from Finn Harps out of 9 points, so we just have to make sure that we stop that, and, you know, otherwise pretty much those three games or four games will end up relegating us, and that's important. We turn that away, but at least keep it live until the last game of the season. We had a draw that we know the UCD have a big match against Shamrock Rovers, and that'll be a hard one for them as well, but, you know, at least a draw keeps it alive, and we obviously we need them to get to 3 points against Drogheda if results go our way up in the Belfield. But you listen, let's do our own job first. We need to get 3 points. We need a big performance. We need to beat UCD tomorrow night, and hopefully we'll get a massive big crowd to come out and support the club, and hopefully the players then will back it up with a big performance on the pitch.
Yeah. Do you feel there is another one on this side? Because Declan, we've only picked up 4 out of 34 matches this year in the Premier Division. Is there another victory in them before the end of the season?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it hasn't been good. The form hasn't been good. The confidence hasn't been good. We've made a lot of mistakes. We probably should have got a big result up in Daly Mount Park. We've conceded another poor goal again. That's been the crux that's really caused us problems. We give away bad goals. And you know, the games, in the last couple of games, we had energy, but only had energy in the second half for when we go a goal down, and we just can't afford to do that tomorrow night, you know, and that's crucially. Yeah, it's down to, can we get, you know, 4-1s we have so far, we probably need to get a 1 and a draw in the next two games, and can we do that? Well, time will tell, but I suppose all we're asking, you know, is can we get a big performance? And we put a big performance, it mightn't be enough on the night, but at least the fans will go away reasonably happy that the players left everything out in the pitch against a good UCD team.
Well, we'll wait to see how it develops, Harps, knowing that of course they need a victory on Friday night. A draw will actually keep their survival hopes alive as well. They just have to avoid defeat at the hands of the students. Full live match commentary here on Highland. Declan will be joining Dermot Doherty. Kickoff's at 8 o'clock. We'll be live as from just before 8 on Friday evening with that one, Declan. But some of the other games at the weekend, we do of course know that Dundalk and St Patrick's Athletic are chasing down that third spot, separated by just 2 points at the moment. They took on Bohemians, who go to Oriel Park, and Sligo Rovers, who are playing host to St Patrick's Athletic. And I suppose Sligo and Bowes having their own battle for fifth as well. Two intriguing ties, Declan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's been a good fight for that last European spot, you know, per se, and with Dundalk and St Pat's fighting hard. I mean, you said there's only 2 points in it, but Dundalk having the edge on 60 points and with St Pat's on 58. So you're probably looking at the goal difference here roughly. You know, it can be a swing. There's 4 goals of a difference or of a swing between with Dundalk ahead, obviously, and St Pat's. So St Pat's get a draw and even if Dundalk get a draw and St Pat's beat Sligo Rovers, Dundalk should be okay, I would say, and get that last spot. But that's dependent on Derry City beating Shelburne to get that fourth spot. If Shelburne go and beat Derry in the FAI Cup, they end up getting into that spot. I mean, you hard know how it's going to go exactly, you know. But Dundalk are in the driving seat at the minute, and they're actually playing at home against a Pose team that on their deck in the Vine, who aren't playing particularly well and probably lacking a bit of confidence.
Yeah, and the other game on Friday night, Shelburne against Drogheda, nothing really to play for those two sides as we enter the closing weekend. But then on Sunday evening, Derry City are heading to the Tallaght Stadium to take on the champions, Shamrock Rovers. Derry couldn't keep the title race alive going into that game, something that was very, very disappointing for the Derry management, because that they hoped to bring it down to the last couple of games and get closer, because they did believe that they were very, very much title contenders, Declan.
Yeah, listen, they had a great season, you know, and they had a blimp, obviously, a quarter way through the season, and they rebounded from that when they got the full complement of players in the pitch. And they were a real, real handful for sure, you know. And I was at the game against Sligo Rovers, and where the performance wasn't bad, they didn't create too many clear-cut chances, and just didn't do enough to get over the line. Interesting, you know, Michael Duffy and Patrick McElhinney came on late on in the game, so I don't know why they were held back, whether they were carrying injuries or not. And you would think that a game was as important as the game in Sligo Rovers, that they would have played the strongest team, but maybe they were carrying knocks. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but you know, they came on for the last 15 minutes in the game, but that stage was just a wee bit too late. And Sligo dug in and got a draw, and disappointing for Derry City, because I think everybody within the league would like to have it, take it down to a Sunday match, a live match, and you know, obviously with Shamrock Rovers and Derry pushing it out. But I suppose now it's still be a big match for Derry City, going out to prove a point against Shamrock Rovers. But Shamrock Rovers are lifting the Premier League title and the 20th title for them, which is a remarkable achievement and an excellent season for them. But Derry have still got a big game against Shamrock Rovers, and they obviously have the cup final coming up as well. So they've, you know, good times ahead, and it's been a really good season, even though disappointingly they haven't won the league.
Listen, there's still the cup to play for, hoping to end the season with silverware. Listen, Declan, thanks for joining us, and I'm hoping the next time that we're talking that Van Harps are still in that survival race.
Let's hope.
There you go, that's Declan Boyle talking League of Ireland football, and in particular, Van Harps on a huge night for the club tomorrow night, and what is their final home game of the season. Elsewhere in soccer, locally, it's Ulster Junior Cup weekend with teams from both the Donegal and the Inishowen Junior League in action on Sunday afternoon. Well, the first game's actually Saturday with Greencastle against Bunnaggy United. But then on Sunday, Castlefin play Donegal Town. Fannage United take on Kilmacrenan and Celtic. Rathmullen Celtic head to Glengad United. Ellis Celtic will host Swilly Rovers. Mobile Celtic are hosting Cager Rovers. Clonmany Shamrocks have a long trip to Killybegs to play St Catharines. And Buncrana Hearts are heading out of the county. They're going to take on Cavan Town on Sunday afternoon. Well, in Gaelic games, there was a number of managerial appointments earlier this week. On Monday evening, Paddy Carr and Aidan O'Rourke were confirmed as the new management of the Donegal senior football team. Carr, of course, taking up the role of manager. Aidan O'Rourke taking up the role of head coach. They have been appointed on a 2-year agreement with a review after the first year. So after 3 months of waiting to see who Declan Boner's replacement or replacements would be, we now have direction going forward, and there is a management in place for the Donegal senior men. It was also confirmed this week that Maxi Kern is sticking with the Donegal senior ladies, having taken up the option of the second year of the agreement with the Donegal LGFA. He is on the lookout for a new coach, however, after Mark McHugh was named on the Roscommon management ticket with Davy Byrne yesterday. Away from Kern's inter-county interests, his ATU senior men's Gaelic footballers have won their opening two games of Division 1 of the Higher Education and Colleges League. Wins over Queen's University and St Mary's Belfast last night have already cemented a place in the quarterfinals with one game to play. That fixture is against University of Ulster Jordanstown next week in Convoy. Speaking to me earlier today, Maxi is pleased with how the start of the campaign has gone for his student side.
We didn't get to play in the league last year with COVID, the way the ball bounced for us. The game's been cancelled, one thing or another. So we went into last year's figures, and I suppose very much in the dark. We didn't know what we had really, and some of the players that maybe you wouldn't have been as familiar with, you weren't sure of. I think last year Joe Bradley Wild started the first game on the bench down against Carlow before coming on at half time for a significant contribution. So, you know, that's the beauty of having a league campaign. You know, you get a chance to look at things, and you know, we've probably started the guts of 22 players now over the two games so far. So we're starting to learn about the boys, and you know, they're probably maybe learning a bit about us, and for those that haven't played before, they're learning about the landscape and the type of football the college football is, you know. So it's a great start, and we're very happy.
Yeah. No Michael Langan this year, no Pater Mogan, two of the standout players from previous years. But and saying that, you've got a very, very strong squad of top quality footballers there, Maxi, so you have.
Yeah, look, it's very, very balanced. You know, you've got your bigger name, surely, your Conor Donalds and your Jason McGee's, and, you know, and then we've a large court of guys that have played under 20 over the last couple of years. Your Kieran Tobin's, Keelan Levy's, Jack Gallagher's, Owen Dowling's, these kind of men, and obviously a couple of Unions boys have won championships in that time as well. And, we've a guy, Liam Gaughan from Sligo, was man of the match in the Sligo County Final, a couple of weeks back. So, yeah, look, we definitely have a balanced squad. You know, on top of that, with a number of players who have been in around, the county senior development squad over the last couple of years, Rory Donald, Ryan McFadden, Carlos O'Reilly, Jack Bishari, players of that ilk. So yeah, look, we're very happy with the players at our disposal. Obviously, Pater Bogan's a massive loss to us, and as is Caelan Morgan, his full back last year. And you know, you'll not replace the like of those, but look, you just have to get on with it. And yeah, new players in there, Carlos would have been a fresher last year and would have been available to play first, but he being second year this year, he is able. So, you know, you gain players in that way and you lose in other ways. And some colleges get hit harder than others from year to year. So, you just get on with it. And yeah, look, we're very happy with the squad available to us at the minute.
We've still got another game to come in the league. It's against University of Ulster Jordanstown next Wednesday, isn't it, Maxi, and Convoy? I think it's fair to say that game is going to be your toughest test so far in this competition.
Yeah, for sure. Look, Jordanstown, as we know, are, you know, serious outfit, and you know, the serious pulling power in terms of attracting the best players from the six counties in particular, and a lot of Donegal players and Monaghan players over the years have gone there as well. They currently have Kieran Moore from St Unions and Keelan McCaughan from Muff, two of the brighter hopes in Donegal football as well. So they have a massive squad of players, and you know, and some household names may not all be available this week, but the likes of the Canavans, Darren, Rory, and Connor Cushion, you know, people like guys who won all Ireland under 20s last year, they're all in around Jordanstown. So yeah, look, paid the players, and but it's a brilliant challenge for us. It's a brilliant game to get at this stage of the game. We're already qualified at the quarter final stages, so the result on Wednesday will determine if we're home or away in the quarter final. So we're guaranteed two more games at this stage: Jordanstown next week, and either UCD or DCU the following week. So we're gonna know a lot about ourselves when those two games are played.
And I'm sure you'll encourage people to come out next Wednesday evening and watch this football, because college football, it's always highly exciting. So does Maxa.
Yeah, last year's run was brilliant, and it was probably my first year really, you know, getting up close with it. So really enjoyed it. And you know, anybody who would have came to our game would have been largely parents to begin with, but you know, there's a massive crowd in Convo the night we played UCD. The great Brian Mullins was on the sideline with UCD, and Jer Brennan, you know, the game with an A-list of players as well, and our men put on horse of display on the night, and we got over the line. It was a brilliant arrival for LYT then, or ATU now, as they call it, to on the whole Sigerson scene. And you know, we went down then, and we give Galway a brilliant rattle for it in the quarter final. And you know, we had our nose in front good in the home stretch, and we just couldn't see it out. So look, it is very exciting football. It's, you know, it's a very high level of talent. You know, I think at the minute it's probably just, you know, it's the next thing to senior inter-county football, and you know, it's young lads playing, and you know, they have a bit more freedom to play in this competition. There's a bit less fear, and probably the consequences of losing aren't as severe as it would be at county or the latter stage of club championship and that. So all of that, you know, adds on to make it a very enjoyable competition. And look, we do hope that people will come out next Wednesday night and support the boys in Convoy. You know, fabulous is all up there, the county training centre and stand and all for the man, it's really good wet. So it's hopefully something now that people will get behind.
Okay, then just moving on to the senior ladies inter-county scene, Max, a confirmation that you've taken up the option of the second year of staying in the post. After last year's campaign, was it an easy enough decision to stick around for another year?
Yeah, it was. Look, you know, in coaching terms, you know, all you ever want is to work with, you know, people who are serious about their craft and want to do their best. And that's one thing about this group of senior ladies. You know, they've given everything over the last 4 or 5 years, and you know, I think we've steadily got closer and closer to the top, and I think now we're proper contenders, and we're able to mix it with anybody. And you know, there's only ever a bounce of the ball between ourselves and any teams that have beaten us over the last year. So look, we feel getting everybody back will be the big challenge, and then maybe add to the squad here and there, and then getting the rub of the green. You know, I think we're under the great shout again, and that's what keeps you going. And as I say, look, there's just a brilliant bunch to work with, and you know, when the offer's there, it's very hard to not take it up.
And I'm sure in the next number of weeks and months there'll be confirmation about who's coming back, Maxie, but I would say it's a bit early yet at this stage on the player front. But there is going to be a couple of changes to your backroom team. Confirmation this week, Mark McHugh is heading off to Roscommon to take up a coaching role. So you're on the lookout already for a new addition?
Yeah. Look, you know, Mark came in last year, and you know, he definitely brought a bit of freshness, I think, and you know, a highly experienced player himself, and a sharp football brain. So we'll be looking to, you know, to add to that. And you know, people come with different skill sets and different strands, and you know, we've changed and refreshed the backroom team regularly over the year. So and I think the profile of ladies football has never been as high as it is at the minute. So you know, it's going to be an appealing position to a lot of aspiring coaches. Look, it's just about setting about now and figuring out what it is we need, and then trying to find the person that, you know, brings that part that we do need. You know, I think it's more about it's a needs driven approach, as opposed to just looking for a person or a name, because I think people can be guilty of, you know, just taking names for the sake of it. And so look, we'll be, you know, sitting down and trying to figure out in the next couple of weeks just what exactly, you know, are the gaps we find in our backroom at the minute, and where they can be bridged. So yeah, but look, you just want to wish Mark the best luck on his comment. It's a great appointment for him. It's a great position, and look, I think it'll be a great addition to the Roscommon Gaelic football team.
That's Maxie Corn. Moving on to football matters in the county of Tyrone. Errigal Kieran and Carrickmore will go head to head for the Tyrone Senior Football Championship title
on Sunday afternoon. 4:15 is the throw-on time at Healy Park in Omagh. It's the first final meeting of the clubs in 16 years. Here's this week's preview with throw-on commentator Paddy Hunter.
It's remarkable to think that these two are going head-to-head again. It's 2006, the last time they met. Carrigmore, they've been beaten in three finals. Errigal Kiernan have been beaten in two since they last won the title. Errigal 2012, Carrigmore 2005. The last team, incidentally, to win it back-to-back in the county. Carrigmore have 15 titles. Errigal Kiernan have 7. Lots of rivalry. Some massive battles during the 90s, no doubt about that, whether it be semi-finals or through the championship or indeed finals. And then the early noughties, obviously, where they met in 2000 and 2001. Massive rivalry them days, no doubt about that. But this is a whole new team. There's one or two people scattered about in the periphery of the squads and in the teams. Maybe it would go back that far, and obviously management and coaches and that. But this is these are new teams. This is a new rivalry, but it's one that it could last a while when you look at the setup of the sides.
Yep. Who's going on as favourites to this one, Paddy? Obviously, both sides coming off the back of huge wins in the semi-finals, and straight away when you're thinking of Errigal Kieran, you're straight away thinking about the Canavan brothers and that name that is entrenched in Tyrone GAA. Who's the favourites in this one?
Very hard one to call. Ashing Carrigmore had 11-8 victory over Clonoe. I suppose, if you want to look at it, maybe the easier side of the draw to a point, although they did play Coleland and beat Coleland well in the first round. They beat Loughmacroy in a dour day, a tense battle, tough encounter, Parish Derby, 10-9, that finished. But against Clonoe, they always came out on top. Errigal Kieran obviously come into this game. They were 7 points down against Moy at Galbally at half-time. On Cumbrary Canavan, within 20 seconds, he scored a point. That kick-started their return into the game, and they were superb after that. They then beat Dungannon, I suppose, a lot easier maybe than many people thought, and then they beat the champions, the reigning champions, Dromore, by a single point, a real battling performance. When it comes to battles, Errigal can dig deep. There's no doubt about that. Age profile of the team, they're probably slightly younger than the Carrigmore side, and that probably in the Carrigmore age average goes up because of a certain Mark Donnelly and Martin Penrose, who are still playing their part within the Carrigmore side. I was joking recently in our own Tyrone GAA commentary that maybe it's time for Conor Gormley to make a comeback here, because those key players, those older players, are key to a young core coming through, captained by Rory Donnelly. To be honest, Oisín, to answer your question, it's a toss of a coin, really. There's little between these two.
And so obviously there's a big prize at the end of it, being county champions. And then you'll then go through to Ulster with a meeting against the recent Derry Crown back-to-back winners, Glens. So if you're going to progress over the next number of weeks at championship level and you're going to be crowned the King of Kings of Tyrone, you've got another huge tie ahead the next day.
I suppose that's what makes, you know, people talk about Tyrone clubs never doing well in Ulster. And it doesn't matter who comes out of this game at the weekend, which will attract a bumper crowd, no doubt about that, because these two will bring in people from all arts and parts, as they have in the past, whether it be games and, you know, in the early rounds of the championship. There will be a big crowd of that, of course, as well. That said, Tyrone teams don't do well, because when you look at the list of champions over the last couple of years, you had Dungannon, you had Tullock, you had Colin, you had Oma, Killiclocher, Clonoe, even back to Errigal and Dromore. You know, you had teams that didn't want it back-to-back since Carrigmore 2005, 2004, 2005. They were going for three in a row that year. Oma beat them courtesy of a Ronan O'Neill goal. They were back in the... It's really, really difficult to win back-to-back Tyrone championships. And that maybe takes away whenever you go into Ulster, because some of the clubs obviously haven't won the championship in a while. Massive celebrations, and all of a sudden you have to knuckle down again. Not saying that the boys wouldn't knuckle down, but, you know, there's that avenue of, you know, oh, we've won the championship, where can we go now? There needs to be a Tyrone side going forward in Ulster. There's no doubt about that, and doing well in Ulster. I think that's a key to what everybody has seen in the past of Tyrone clubs. But it is tough. There's no doubt about that. And Errigal side have a lot of experience. Carrigmore have an awful lot of experience. and both sides of young players coming through. There's been some wonderful performances this year, Ashi, and on the scoring charts at the back and up front. One man that jumps out at me from a Kerry Moore point of view, young Lorcan McBride, people would know his father, Kieran, absolutely superb this year. And then, as you say, the Canavans, Dara Rury and the captain, Tommy, superb stuff for them. But they had the older hands as well, the likes of Peter Hart in the background there as well. So Joe Goose coming through. A lot of key players. But can they do well in Ulster? Well, they have to be seen, doesn't it?
Yeah. The last time these two sides met, Paddy, in the final was in 2006 and a replay was needed there. Can we expect a really, really close one this weekend again on Sunday evening?
I would agree with you. I absolutely, Ashin. There's no doubt about that. Both sides have a lot to offer. As we talked about some of the younger players, Tommy Canavan, captain, Eric Kieran, exceptional leader, but they know what it takes to win championships. A lot of these guys have come through at underage level. Kerrig Moore, managed by young Rory Donnelly, he has scored 3 points in the championship this year from the half-back line, an exceptionally good leader as well. And like Errigal, they've a lot of young lads coming through. Two fresh young sides, bar one or two older heads, as we talked about.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it went to a replay. At least we won't have the penalty shootout this year, at least at the first attempt anyway. That obviously goes back to Dungannon's famous victory in 2020 in the COVID final, as we call it. When it went to a penalty shootout and Dungannon won the title for the first time since the 1950s. It's going to be very close, Oisin. A toss of a coin, that would be fair to say. You know, there's not going to be much in it. Young Stephen Campbell referees the game, and congratulations to him from the Stewartstown Club. Good lad. And he could have his hands full, but it's going to be a very intriguing game. There's no doubt about that there. And a lot of neutrals will come to see it, Oisin. That's a key as well. A lot of people from South Derry always come across the border to watch it. There'll be Donegal folk, there'll be Fermanagh folk as well. The Tyrone Championship, it's hard-hitting, it's tough, but it's very, very entertaining. And I think that's what attracts the bumper crowd. And that, you know, the fact that these two big hitters are going toe-to-toe will make it even more interesting.
Yeah. No sitting on the fence now, Paddy. We don't want it. How you see this one going? Who are you calling it?
I'm just looking at the firepower of Eric Kieran. Rory Canavan's going to play a massive part in this game. There's no doubt about that. Dara Canavan top scored with 17 points for them. Morgan McGarty scored 10 points, top scored for Kerrig Moore, 6 of those points in the semi-final. I would maybe edge towards Errigal. And the only reason is because of the experience that the younger lads have garnered over the past couple of years. They have a couple of players back, Mark Kavanagh, his father, of course, Eamon, great soccer player, of course, as well, for Roma Town in the past. He's back from injury. Tommy Canavan's an exceptional leader. Joe Goose is one of the most talented young men I've seen over the championship. Will be certainly knocking on the door for Tyrone in the near future. I just edge Errigal, maybe by 1 point. I'd rather sit in the fence, though. And I still think I'll go back to the fence because it's safer.
No, you said it. It's going out on air now, Paddy. You said Errigal was going to edge it by one. We'll see if you're right come Sunday evening. Thanks for joining us, Paddy, and enjoy the football of the weekend.
Actually, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Paddy Hunter with his thoughts on the Tyrone Championship decider. Francis Mooney will have updates from that game for us as from the 4:15 start on Sunday as Errigal Kieran and Carrick Moore go head to head. Club-wise here in Donegal, I suppose the bulk of the fixtures are all around the under-21 championships, which get up and running. Games being played on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. First up, it's McCool's against Terman in the under-21A North, and in the under-21C North, it's Burt against Robert Emmett's. Those matches being played Friday evening, and they throw in at 8 o'clock. Derry Junior Football Champions Craig Bann are involved in Ulster this coming weekend. Kingspan Breftney Park in Cavan's the venue for their match against the Cavan Champions Drumlane. That one starts at 1:30 on a Sunday.
The delayed Ulster Ladies Intermediate Championship quarter-final between Éireann Ballyshannon and Steelstown has been fixed for this coming Sunday. It was, of course, originally due to be played last week, but was put off because of the weather. 2 o'clock is the throwing time there in Ballyshannon for that tie on Sunday. And just like the men, the under-21 football championship for the ladies is also getting underway this weekend, with round one games being played on Sunday morning, all starting at 10:30. Now, Kilmacrenan rider Richard Kerr ended the bike track season last weekend by taking the outright win at the prestigious Sunflower Trophy event at Bishop's Court. It brought the curtain down on a campaign which seen him finished fifth in the Superstock Championship, the second tier of the British Superbike Championship. A return to Superstock looks to be on the cards for next season, but a Superbike ride is also a possibility either next year or the year after. To win the Sunflower, Richard had to beat Alistair Seeley, and he was the first rider to do so on the bigger bike this year. He joined me in studio earlier this week, and Richard said the victory at the Sunflower was a huge one for his career.
Sunflower, Bishop's Court, definitely Ireland's, probably Ireland's, yeah, it would be Ireland's top race, you know. I think that's the one everyone wants to win, and it was a real good weekend, and I don't think it's sunk in yet, because I always just look on for the next target or something else to achieve after I've done something, so always looking forward, but yeah, I'm still happy about it.
Yeah, take us through the weekend, because it was testing conditions, wasn't it? It was tricky in the rain.
Yeah, we had all different weather throughout the weekend, from the Friday being quite wet and a lot of heavy rain, and Saturday morning quite dampish tracks, half and half with intermediate tyres on, and then eventually got a dry race at the end.
But
went all well. I mean, all different conditions, managed to win three races, and you know, so didn't matter what condition I won, it well went well, thank God. So yeah, had a good weekend.
Yeah, you were very relaxed about it, but I would say there was more in the tank, was there? You sort of cruised around there, did you?
Yeah, because Bishop's Court, I don't get many laps around because it's an Irish short circuit weekend. You know, over in England we get a lot more track time, but with the conditions changing all the time, and first time on a slick front tyre, whenever we did get to the dry race, it was sort of our first dry laps of the whole weekend, and on a front tyre that I never used in my life, it was a wee bit like, is this going to work, is it not going to work? But got the head down and we've managed to win the race. But looking back now, it's like I'd love to do another lap tomorrow just to see how fast I could go.
Yeah, I've watched a bit of bikes now. I'm not engrossed on it like what you are, but I know that Alistair Seeley is a big name on bikes, so he is. And that's a few to beat him, because I'm sure you would have watched him when you were younger. It's huge for your career, so does Richard.
It is, yeah, because everyone knows who in the motorbike community knows who Alistair Seeley is, so it's really nice to beat him. He's won every race in the Superbike this year, and you know, people told me I'm the only rider to beat him in the last two seasons, well, on the Superbike anyway, so it's really nice to do that, and a lot of people wouldn't have expected me to beat him, and obviously in my own head, he was my target, and he beat me earlier in the year and I beat him, so it was kind of like I knew it was going to be a bit of a dogfight this round, but we managed to get the wins, and it did go down to the wire in some of the races, but when it counted, the big race, it all worked out my way.
Yeah, the bike you were on was the same bike that you finished fifth in the British Superstock Championship, is that right?
Yeah, same bike, the AMD Motorsport Honda. So we still had the bike in the Superstock trim, but that we raced all year with, so I was familiar with the bike. We just had slick tyres in, so they are grippier and a bit more life left in them, so it just was sort of evened up the playing field a little bit, because we knew Alistair would be on his Superbike.
Yep. You've enjoyed being on the Honda this year. Two wins in the Superstock. Now, I know you're a competitive guy, so you are, Richard, and you would have liked more podiums. So you did, but you had two wins in Donington and Knockhill, and obviously two circuits that suited your riding style and suited the bike.
Yeah, I mean, they were definitely the two highlights of the season for me, because we've been over there a lot of years and finished plenty of seconds and thirds, but no wins until this year. So to get two, Knockhill and Donington are completely different tracks, you know, one being really tight and technical and hilly, and another being a lot more fast and flowing at Donington. So it was definitely, yeah, good experiences, and I won't forget them.
Yeah, the two victories, what was sort of different in those weekends compared to the rest of the weekends and the championship? Why did you have success over the course of those two meets?
I think Knockhill, just we did do a test there before the race, and a lot of the opposition was testing there as well, and just from the get-go I was able to do real quick lap times there, and it's really good to start off a test with good lap times, because then you can build on that. And going into the race weekend, then we had I sat out the first practice. Actually, it was torrential rain, and we didn't want to risk an injury like some of the riders did. So even going into free practice, missing a full practice session, I was straight away top of the time sheet. So I think just the positive was I was on the pace so quick, and I had good pace all weekend, you know, from qualifying and race one and race two. So for that track, I was just quick on it from the get go, and that's what you need to be able to win races. And for Donington, then it was similar again. Like, I had good pace at the start of the weekend, and maybe not so strong as Knockhill, but enough to get me qualifying the first two rows of the grid, and then just chipped away in the race. You know, started, I think, sixth in the race, and got my way up to the lean grip, and went was pushed back to third in the last lap, and managed to find areas to get past the two ahead of me, and came out on top. So it was just they both went my way, like, because it's racing, you could end up in the gravel, it's handy, and I ended up on top in those two races. So
yeah, it's consistency has been key for you throughout the year, because of all the riders competing in the Superstock, Richard, you were the only one that scored points in every single round. Obviously, you're very, very good at keeping that bike on the track, so you're...
Yeah, definitely. In the races, you know, finishing every race and all season long was a great achievement, but I did throw it up the road a few times, and between qualifying and practice sessions, and, you know, no one likes hitting the ground because the tarmac's quite hard for sure, but whenever it counted, you know, there's no, you know, I always knew it was important to finish races, and I never went with a mindset saying, oh, not to fall off, but I knew, like, the race isn't a time to find the limit, you know, you use practice and qualifying for that. And don't get me wrong, I've been really close a couple of times from crashing in races, but maybe I just got lucky and stayed on her or used my elbows to keep myself up.
Yeah. Were you happy with fifth in the championship? Because I know you came close to keep ticking fourth.
Nah, I mean, I am now, but at the time when I realised I was fifth, I wasn't, because I was pushing for fourth in the championship, and I actually was lying fourth in the final race with literally one corner to go, and the rider in fifth made a late lunge on me into the final corner, Brands Hatch, and put us both wide. So Braden Elliott, he was lying fourth in the championship, and he was lying behind me in sixth. So as me and the other rider went wide, he just got an open door to get up the inside. So he passed me and ended up fifth in the race. So, and I ended up dropping from fourth to sixth. So it was about 5 seconds away from getting that fourth in the championship, but it's racing, and, you know, no one leaves it.
That's all part of being on a bike.
Exactly. I mean, the boys over there, definitely they don't hang about. Like, I mean, if there's a gap, they'll go for it. And there wasn't even a gap, that's the thing. But how we both stayed on, it could have been worse if we were lying upside down somewhere. But fifth still good in the championship, but fourth obviously would have been better. But
yeah, well, listen, fifth is a tremendous finish in the BSB series in the Superstock. You have a brilliant working relationship with AMD Motorsport. It's worked very well through 2022. What's going to be next now for you, Richard? How do you build on this year? What's next?
Well, it obviously depends what we do next year, but whatever it is, I mean, it's all about, well, simply just going fast. So I've second year in the big bike. I know myself, I still have more to learn. I am learning, but I know there's more left in the tank. You know, maybe I could be a bit more aggressive on the gas sometimes. And there's just all these little sectors just to find those 3/10, half a second a lap. And that's all I am looking for now. When last year, you know, I could have been 1.5 seconds off the pace, and now we're like a few tenths off the pace. So there's no plans confirmed for next year yet. Not that it's early days yet, but it's just there's no point in me saying anything until it's finalised. And there's been options for going down the Superbike route, and then there's options for Superstock 1000 again. So whatever one it'll be the best option for me. And either way, whatever I'm doing, I'm looking forward to whatever 2023 brings.
Yeah, and obviously just touching on the Superbike, that's the top end of the BSB. You're very, very close to it now, Richard, and that would, if it was to happen next year, or even if it's not going to be next year and it's going to be the year after, that would be a dream fulfilled for you to get to that level?
For sure. I mean, there's team, you know, it is a big class, and the Superstock 1000 is the stepping stone to that. So there will be riders, you know, I'm racing up against ex-Superbike riders at the moment, and then the likes of Davey Todd, I think he'll be, should be in Superbikes next year. He's won the Superstock Championship this year. The superbike riders will come back to Stockhausen, so they won't make life any easier for next year if we go down that route again. But it is, that's where I want to be. And we're not far away because some of the superbike riders, we are doing quicker lap times than them as it is. So it's just a matter of trying to find that other second and a half to, you know, as quick as a superbike. But obviously, their bikes are a lot higher spec than ours. But yeah, that's the ultimate goal for sure. And at the minute, we'll just try and win races and then worry about that after.
Yeah, well, the bike that you're on has been a competitive bike, and you've rode it very well through the year. If you do stay with Super Stock for another season, do you have to upgrade the machinery, or is the current bike you have been good enough, or is it a case the rest of the boys around you are all advancing on your models of bikes?
It depends on obviously every bike, but if the Honda has got new updates out, then you have to go with it. You know, you can't let everyone else get the upgrades and you still on the older model, because it's so tight and competitive. You know, if you can find parts or a new model of a bike that can find you 0.3 a lap, then it might cost a lot of money, but that's what it takes to be at the sharp end. So especially when you have a rider just as good as you, if they are in better machinery, then they're going to have the advantage. So if it was whatever bike it is, it needs to be, you know, if you're going to want to win races, you're going to need the best of machinery.
Yeah. Well, the season now has come to an end across in England and here in Ireland as well, but there's no downtime for you because you're going to still be on a bike. What's next for you over the next couple of months?
For now, we have this weekend just a local grass track on Nixon's Corner, and then we've got a four...
That's the motocross we're on, isn't
yeah,
it?
Sorry, that's motocross, so a bit of dirt bike training. I'll do it most weekends over the winter to keep me sharp, hopefully. And then we've also got Supermoto Championship. It's a four-round winter series, so I don't think there'll be any weekends off. Maybe Christmas time I'll take a week off, but I'll try and ride a bike as much as I can.
You like getting mucky then, do you?
Nah, I like keeping clean now. The tarmac racing's a lot better, but, you know, I enjoy being on a bike no matter what kind of bike it is.
Okay. So. Well, listen, we'll keep a very close eye on you to see what bike you're going to be on next year in 2023. Richard, well done on this year and the season just passed, and congratulations on the Sunflower victory, because in motorbike terms and motorcycling terms, it's huge. So congratulations and the best of luck.
Thank you.
That's Richard Kerr, who's hoping to be back on the bike next year and improve on his fifth place finish and his Sunflower victory in 2023. And that brings an end to the Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you can of course recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Chris Ashmore is our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. Until then, for me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, with up to 50% off in the big Halloween sale now on. In store, at Station Roundabout Letterkenny, and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.